Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to continue to take a look today at the drama that's unfolding in front of the Sanhedrin. The religious leaders, the same body that condemned Jesus, and now St. Peter and John are standing before them, and the conflict is intensifying. It's such an important picture for us, I think, and a sign of what Jesus promised would be the destiny of his disciples until he comes again. Because what we see the unfolding drama, the continuing unfolding drama of the battle between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is resisting, is seeking to continue to make war, even though the ultimate victory against the kingdom of darkness has been won. That total victory won't be expressed until the Lord comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And when he returns, the church teaches us very clearly, he will destroy definitively the work of Satan and the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus himself and his power and his glory and majesty will bring about that new heaven and new earth. But in the meantime, we're living in enemy-occupied territory. This is not heaven. This is not our home. We're pilgrims. We're also disciples, men and women baptized into Christ who can say with the apostles, my life is no longer my own. I belong to Christ. It's not a surprise to me that life on earth is a trial and that it's difficult and that the world rises and falls in times in history in its resistance against God and against his anointed. What we're seeing in our culture today is a rise of resistance to God. So meditating on the experience the apostles had is very instructive. It's very, very helpful. So we'll continue that story today. It's really taken from Sunday's reading at Mass, Acts chapter 5, and then also make reference to the gospel story of the apostles meeting Jesus on the shore, having some fish after he had risen from the dead, and his being reunited with St. Peter. But before we just want to remind you, all my radio programs are archived on at our website at renewalministries.net. You can go get all the back shows. Sister Ann Shields' programs are there as well, as is The Choices We Face. I want to mention to you, on the website, we've purposely set up the website so you have access not only to the programs, but lots of good free material that will support you. Our newsletters, free booklets there, our television shows, television programs are there. The ministries that we're involved in, the work of our country coordinators internationally, we're working in about doing about 40 different international missions this year. We're sending teams all around the world to Africa, to Eastern Europe, Central Europe, to Latin America, to Asia, all over the place. So you can see what's happening there. Also, our ministries, ID 916, our outreach to young adults, to millennials in their 20s and 30s. A lot of really exciting things happening there that you can check in on and maybe introduce to your own sons and daughters who are in that age group that might want to know more about it. And a growing work of young people, the Be Love Revolution that my wife is leading is all there. So there's just a lot of good stuff. And you can also download our app, which will give you immediate access to pretty much everything that we're doing. But on with the morning show. So we left yesterday the confrontation with Peter before the Sanhedrin. And they basically demanded that Peter and John and the rest of the apostles stop talking about Jesus. And Peter's answer, as we ended the program yesterday, was this very important line that for us is crucial right now. Remember, Peter's an apostle. He's a disciple of Jesus. Those who are baptized into Christ, listening to this program, you're a disciple of Jesus. You're called to follow Peter as Peter followed in the footsteps of Jesus. This is the normal way. This is the narrow way. It's the narrow way that Jesus said all his apostles must travel. So Peter's a witness. That's a key thing that we'll see here. Jesus told the apostles after he rose from the dead, met with them the first time in the upper room where they were waiting for him. Basically, they were in hiding. And Jesus told them the meaning of what happened in his death on a cross. And then he told them, this is what it's for. You are witnesses to these things. Now, you're to go to proclaim what you saw to the whole world and what you were witnesses to, the meaning of Jesus' death on a cross, the core of his teaching, his rising from the dead. And then Jesus said, what this is all about is that I'm offering through my sacrifice and making possible through my authority to offer the forgiveness of sins to all those who are willing to humble themselves and to say yes. and to offer the gift of salvation, really, through that. And so he said, I'm going to send you. You'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'll clothe you with power. But don't forget, this is the central point. The central point is to bring the forgiveness of sins, repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world, and to give people an opportunity to be baptized into my life. So this is what Peter will unfold. It's important to see. He said, we must obey God rather than men, that the God of our ancestors raised Jesus. There, he's testifying. He's a witness to it. Though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. Peter's saying, we know he was killed. You also know he was killed, and you're responsible. And Peter also knows in some way he's responsible. Every human being in some way has contributed to the crucifixion of Jesus because it's the result of sin. Jesus died for our sins. Now Peter goes on, and he gives further testimony and witness to what he knows to be true. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior. So not only did Jesus walk the streets of Jerusalem, not only did he preach and teach, and not only did he perform signs and wonders, but Peter said, look, we know and you know that you killed him and hanged him on a tree, but God raised Jesus. This is what we're testifying to. And friends, this is the central truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ died and rose again. And Jesus broke open a way for the human race to conquer death, to pass through the darkness of death, the emptiness of death, into new life, to life. And so the apostles saw in Jesus existence beyond death. They got a glimpse, a first glimpse of the new humanity, the new creation, the new reality that's born in Jesus Christ in his flesh. So this is important to see. What he's declaring, what he's saying is to the religious leaders, is that God, their God, Jesus came from their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? And he's the Messiah. He's the one who is leader and savior. He's the one who all the prophets talked about. He's the fulfillment of all the desires of the people of Israel and everything that God had worked in them for the sake of the salvation of not only the salvation of Israel, but as the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and others said, that this light to the nations that would come from the people of Israel, this light who is the person of Jesus, the Messiah, would go to the nations, that is to the Gentile world, the world that I inhabit and others who are not born into. We're not children of Abraham in that sense. We're children of Abraham now by faith. And Jesus is meant to be, the Messiah is meant to be the Savior for the whole world. And Peter's making that declaration right in the face of the religious leaders in Jerusalem itself. And he's saying, not only was he raised, you killed him, but God raised him and exalted him at his right hand. And he's declaring the fact that Jesus is equal with God. All power and authority are in his hands. He's the leader, or he is the Lord, and he's the Savior. He goes on to say, he raised him for the purpose to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. Here it is. Peter now is quoting, he's doing exactly what Jesus told him to do. He's being faithful right to the core. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus said to him, you must witness to what you see now. Touch me. You know I'm risen from the dead. You must tell the whole world, beginning here in Jerusalem and beginning with the religious leaders and the people of Israel, the truth about who I am and the meaning of the resurrection from the dead. And the meaning is that Jesus now is alive and he's at the right hand of the Father in glory, and that the new humanity, the new creation has begun. The new thing God is doing to save humanity for all eternity has begun in the person of Jesus Christ. He made it possible. He opened the way. He cleanses us through his blood. And by his power and authority, he's conquered death. So he brings all those who share his nature. You know, Jesus had a human nature too, and that's us. He's the second Adam. Paul will say Jesus is now a life-giving spirit. Adam, we share Adam's life, but Jesus has now come, friends, to sire a new humanity. That is to give us a new life. The seed of life that's in him, eternal life. This is the core and the meaning of what Christianity is all about. That's why there's no other savior, Peter will declare a little bit later. There's no religious leader, there's no guru, there's no parallel in any way, shape, or form of significance between what Jesus is and the church he established and all the other religions of the world. certainly they can refract some light of truth. They can know something because the heart has been yearning to know something about God, to reach up to God. And so humanity, by God's grace, is able to come to some religious sense and some way of knowing God's purposes and through his creation and the rest of it. But in Jesus alone, the heart of God comes to earth and is radically revealed and totally revealed. And God's gift of salvation to the world, God's word to the world, is a person. It's Jesus. It's not just a set of commandments. It's not a bunch of rules. It's not a religious form, mainly. It's not simple prayer habits or meditation habits or whatever. And God's not a big cheerleader coming down and say, hey, just get after whatever you feel, follow your own bliss or anything like that. He's giving us his exalted son. And he set him on the throne. And the Father, the creator of all things, the origin of all things, said, this is my beloved. All authority belongs to him. And now everything will be brought under his feet. And that's what Peter's declaring. He's declaring it to the religious leaders. That's what it means that he's leader and savior. And the key is he's bringing repentance and forgiveness of sins. And this is the part people don't like. And he's talking to the religious leaders who are the proprietors. You know, they see themselves as the proprietors of the people in the history of Israel. And they carry the teaching of the patriarchs and the prophets. And they're meant to be the holiest people, the most faithful people in all of Israel. But as Jesus did, so Peter now, he exposes their hypocrisy. They're shot through with sin, pride, ego, lust, hatred, fear of men. All of it's in them. They're cowards. That's in them. And Peter stands up now with courage. They're a bit confounded by Peter, an uneducated man. It's very important to see the people God chooses. There's no reason why a quote-unquote uneducated man, let's say even a guy who has a high school education or even less, can be mighty, mighty in the kingdom of God. God doesn't look on human IQ and, you know, financial power and the rest of it. God's not impressed by it because he knows none of it can save. The flesh is useless. The Spirit gives life. And those who walk by the Spirit are the ones who have the power given by Christ to lead people into the very thing that they most need. So Peter's saying, God has exalted Jesus so that repentance, that is turning back to God and turning specifically to the God-man, to Jesus, who the Father has given us as Savior, acknowledging him as Savior, so repenting of our rebellion and sin and come to receive the forgiveness of sins, which Peter preached on Pentecost as well, saying that through baptism is an act, coming to baptism is an act of repentance where your sins are forgiven and you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter says, we are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. This is who you are. This is who I am. What are you called to be? You're called to be a witness. You're called to witness to the truth. What's the truth? The truth we've just been describing. What God has done in Peter, what God has done in you, what's happened by virtue of your baptism, the offer that's been given for the salvation of the world. You're a witness and you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. I am a witness and I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's take this up more tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.